If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 5 through 8 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at prayer again next week. We're going to look at the second part of this text and Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer. But today, as you can see by the title, we're going to talk about the attitude of prayer. And it's fair to say that one of the most powerful tools that we have available to us as Christians is prayer. One of the most misunderstood and misused tools we have available to us as Christians is prayer. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that treat prayer sort of like emergency rescue. You know, God, I'm in trouble, help me. There are others who treat prayer as though it were some sort of go sit on Santa's lap and ask him for what you want. Neither of those is biblical. That's not what God has called us. Now, it's not to say that if we're in trouble that we can't pray and ask God to help us. It is. That is okay, but that shouldn't be the only time we're praying. That shouldn't be the bulk of our prayers. The bulk of our prayers should be a daily thing. It should be, as Paul says, to pray without ceasing. Next week, we're going to look more intently at the parts of prayer or the aspects of prayer, if you will, and what should be in our prayer. But this week, I want to focus on the attitude of our heart, because we can have all the skeleton, if you will, correct, but if our heart is not right, and our attitude in our prayer, then our prayer is not going to be right. Our prayers are going to be in vain. So let's take a look at what Jesus taught the attitude of prayer should be. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 6. I don't have control yet, Kim. For some reason, it's not letting me change the slide. Thank you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word this morning. Let's ask God to be with us right now. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, for the privilege of being in your house right now. God, open our hearts and minds and help us to focus our attention upon you. Lord, may nothing distract us from hearing from you right now. God, I pray right now that I might decrease. Lord, I pray you would increase. God, help me to get out of the way that you might be able to speak through your text today. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this text, we're going to look at four keys to a proper attitude for prayer. And yeah, I don't have control, Kim, so I'm going to have to rely on you. Thank you. The first key to a proper attitude for prayer is to never pray to draw attention to yourself. Never pray to draw attention to yourself. Jesus spoke candidly and clearly in verse 5, he had observed how many of those who considered themselves very religious would pray on street corners loudly. They would pray in the synagogue loudly so that others would see them praying, so that others would hear them praying. They wanted to be thought of as godly men, but Jesus told them the truth should be that they were the truth was that they were hypocrites. The truth is, we shouldn't be trying to pray to draw attention to ourselves. Now, why in the world would he call them hypocrites? Because their desire was not to be in God's presence. Their desire was to be seen by men. Their desire was to appear to be righteous. You see, Jesus was making it clear that true righteousness is not an act to play before others. Rather, it is the attitude of the heart. And if we're genuine in our righteousness before God, then others will see it in us. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek word that means to wear a mask. In an early Greek dramas, young boys would play the female roles, and they would wear these masks to look like women. They would be pretending to be something that they obviously were not. That's what Jesus was saying about them. You're pretending to be something you're not. This was in no way a condemnation of public prayer. Jesus himself prayed in public, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with praying in public, but prayer should always be from a genuine heart, not to show others how spiritual we are. We've all heard people pray these eloquent King James prayers. And I'm not knocking anybody who prays that way, but I'm saying Our prayers are not about trying to impress others or impress God. Our prayers should be from our heart. It can be simple. As a matter of fact, Jesus even taught us that we can refer to God as Abba, Father. And that word has more similarities to our word daddy. It is an endearing, intimate term. So we can pray to him in that with that comfort. I must confess that I don't like to be around people who flaunt their religion, who come across as very disingenuous about what they're saying and doing because they're over the top. You know, people who plug in praise the Lord and hallelujah where it doesn't fit. I mean, you know, slam their finger in the door, hallelujah. Probably not the time for hallelujah. I'm not saying you should say something ugly at that point, but that's probably not a hallelujah. But every one of us, in reality, as much as I would like to force people to place their faith in Christ, every one of us must make a decision on our own for Christ. And we can't force faith on someone else. I'll never forget when I was a teenager on a youth trip with my church. My pastor at that time had gone with us, and I drew the short straw. He stayed in my room. Kidding. That's a joke, y'all. I'm a preacher. It's okay. I can make that joke. I tell people that when they come and sit at the table with me and, you know, at a meal. I say, I see you drew the short straw. You got to sit with the preacher. So anyway, we go into the room, and the cleaning lady's still in the room. And I mean, we're all kind of getting our stuff in. And he doesn't even begin a conversation with her. The first words out of his mouth are, "Do you know Jesus?" And I'm like, it was awkward for all of us. I'm just going to say, for her, it was awkward. For the rest of us guys in there, and I just really felt like it's, hey, I'm going to show off for these teenagers. Do you know Jesus? I thought, you know, maybe you could ask her name, find out how she's doing, you know, actually show her that you care about her, not trying to strike something off your list to say, hey, look at how religious I am. You know, there have been a lot of folks that I've wanted to push Jesus on, but the reality is God works on the heart. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But we can share. We can tell them. And I would even caution you, be careful about pleading with someone too much, because the reality is it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit. We need to let God do that work. We should share. We should tell them. And we should be genuine in our sharing. We should really want to see them come to faith in Christ. It should not be about, hey, I shared my faith 15 times this week. I want you to know I've been a good boy. You can give me a gold star. No, it's not about that. It's about allowing the Lord to lead us and to do that to honor him. But when we pray, our prayers should never be about drawing attention to ourselves. Our prayers must come from a genuine heart that's not interested in what other people think about our prayers. If the prayer of your heart is short and simple, that's all right. You know, don't go into some other voice when you pray. You know, sort of like Jim Nabors. For those of you who know Gomer Pyle, Jim Nabors, you know, you talk one voice, you sing another. Don't let that be true in prayer. When you go into prayer, just talk to God. It's okay. He knows who you are. It's all right. Just be yourself when you pray. If we're going to pray in public, don't seek to show other people how polished you can pray. Can I just be honest? Sometimes I'm in a group of men sometimes praying, and there's that humanness that pops up, and I want to, oh man, I hadn't prayed well enough yet. There hadn't been enough other amens. We can't let that humanness stuff creep in. It can't be about pride. It's got to be about just focusing on God. We shouldn't be worried about what other people are thinking about our prayers. We should be focusing on him. And a simple prayer from an honest and genuine heart is pleasing to God. So when you have the opportunity to pray, just talk to God. And I'm talking about praying in public there. You got plenty of opportunity to pray. I want to be clear. We should be praying all the time. But if you have the opportunity to pray in public, just talk to God. Never intentionally draw attention to yourself when praying. The second key to having a proper attitude for prayer is to remember that God should always be the audience when we pray. It's essential to remember who the audience is when you're praying. God should always be the audience for our prayers. This is something that those to whom Jesus was speaking had forgotten. They had made man the audience. They had forgotten God. You see, they were inclined to pray publicly, but it wouldn't even enter their mind to focus on God. They didn't even spend time praying to God privately. Jesus told them that they should go into the secret place and to pray not for the attention of others, but instead to get alone with God and to spend time with him. Jesus' intent was to let them know that the only way you can pray God-honoring prayers publicly is if you've been praying privately. If you've been alone with God, if you've been spending time with Him, you see, when we get alone with God and get quiet and still before Him, we'll begin to develop His ways in our lives. He'll transform our thinking, but God must be the audience that we're seeking when we pray. Jesus told them that God would repay your prayer that's done in private. That tells me when we spend time in private, it's not going to be empty, it's not going to be in vain, that God is going to bless, that God is going to strengthen us, that God will be there with us, that He will grow us in those times. But let me say to you, don't give God your leftovers when it comes to prayer. Give God your best time. You know, people have asked me through the years, well, when should I have my quiet time? Let me just say to you, what's your best time? When are you the most alert? When can you be most focused on Him? For a lot of people, that is the morning. For a lot of people, it's not the morning. So whatever time it is, you may be a night person. If it's night, then pray at night. Whatever it is, spend your time in God's Word at night. Whatever it is, but spend time in God's Word. I will say this, if it's not morning for you, make sure you focus your attention upon God in the morning. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to remind myself of daily is I want to focus my attention upon God from the beginning of the day, and I want to glorify God. So one of the things that I'm trying to do every morning is I'm saying, God, I give you my head, I give you my hands, and I give you my heart. I want to glorify you today in all that I do. It's alliterated because that helps me remember it. And I just want to try to remember every day, God, I give you my head, I give you my hands, I give you my heart. I want to surrender all of myself to you. I want to be used of you. I want to glorify you today. I want to focus my attention upon Him. Now for me, I like the mornings. That's the time that I want to get, but let me just be honest with you. It's not first thing when I wake up, okay? First thing when I wake up, there's some frosted flakes that are screaming my name, okay? After I'm a little more alert and awake, then I have that time. I served on staff when I was in seminary with a gentleman who now for years has worked with the State Convention of North Carolina. And I'm talking prayer warrior. He was so real in his prayers. And I was serving in a church. He came and served as interim pastor in that church while I was there. And he was actually working on his D.Min, his Doctorate of Ministry at that time at Southeastern Seminary. And I remember the first Sunday he was there, he asked me to come into the office with him before we went into to the service. And he began to pray. And folks, when I say he began to pray, he pushed his chair out of the way. He got down on the floor, face down to the floor, and began to pray. And I wasn't in the room, okay? Are you with me? I was there, but I wasn't in the room. He was praying, and he wasn't praying to impress me. He was talking to God. But let me tell you this. When we went in the sanctuary, when he prayed in a service, the room disappeared. He was talking to God. That's the way it should be when we pray. We should be so intentional about where our focus is. I never asked him. I don't know if in his mind he imagined that he was looking at God, that he was speaking directly to God, but that's the way it appeared to me. And that's what it should be in our prayers. We should be focusing on God. When we pray, we must take heed to Christ's reminder that God is the audience. You see, you don't have to fear praying in public because you're not praying for other people. You're praying for God. It doesn't matter one bit, what someone else thinks about your prayer. Don't let fear keep you from praying in public. I realize public speaking is always one of the top three things that people fear. They do not like public speaking. I get it. But when you pray, people around you are not the audience. Just focus on God. And by all means, don't let pride keep you from praying in public. Well, I'm afraid what somebody will say about me. Don't worry about it. Just focus on God. And as I said before, your prayers don't have to come from the King James Version of the Bible to be a proper prayer. To be a proper prayer, it must come from the heart. God blesses genuine prayer, and it's very important that we remember that genuine worship is very much a form of prayer. For us, when we worship, you're not singing for the people around you. And I realize not everybody enjoys singing. That's okay. I hope if you're not singing outwardly, you're singing in your heart. Okay, because worship is important. And if you're not comfortable singing out loud, that's okay, but sing in your heart. Focus on God. You don't even have to like the style of music to worship God. Pay attention to the lyrics. You see, here's the problem. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't like that style of music. And then they go and sing a hymn that they've sang for 950 years, and they don't think about a single word they sing. The style doesn't matter if you're not focusing on God, if you're not paying attention to what you're singing, if you're not if you don't realize that it's about him. I mean, when we sing, glorify thy name, are you just singing those words, or are you looking to God and saying, God, glorify your name. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. It's not about anybody else in here. It's about focusing our attention upon him and glorifying him. The next time you pray, I want to challenge you to consider imagining that you're actually speaking to God. I've got friends who will maybe put another chair in the room across from them where they're praying, and they'll imagine that God is sitting in that chair. For me personally, I like to think about entering into God's throne room and being in his presence. But whatever it is, focus on him when you pray. Talk to him. Because you are, whether you realize it or not, you are through your prayer entering his presence. So never intentionally draw attention to yourself when you're praying, and God should always be the audience when we pray. The third key to a proper attitude for prayer is that prayer should not be about the length of the prayer or about mindless repetition. Now, Jesus cautioned his audience, which ultimately, of course, we're now the audience, to stay away from mindless and meaningless repetition and not to think that a lengthy prayer is somehow more spiritual than a short prayer. In verse 7, Jesus used a word that carries with it the idea of babble. That's repetitious and pointless. Many of the pagan religions would teach their believers to chant or to say certain things over and over as if to entreat their gods to actually do something. This would be reminiscent of Elijah and the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. One of my favorite texts in all of Scripture is reading through that, because I love sarcasm, and whether you recognize it or not, Elijah was sarcastic toward them. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Chant a little louder. And you know, he's sitting back there going, ha, these guys are idiots. They don't even realize their God is dead. It's no God at all. What an awesome, awesome scripture. And then another instance would be Paul at Ephesus. You may remember that the crowd began to chant to Artemis for 2 hours. You see, all the repetitious chanting in the world is not going to awaken a dead God. But the living, righteous, and holy God is who we serve. And a simple phrase like, I love you, Jesus, he's always listening. So many take this, and the very thing that Jesus, that we'll look in the next portion of this sermon at, not this sermon today, the Sermon on the Mount, that we'll look at next week, is Jesus will teach us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And it's amazing to me, many Protestant churches have now mindlessly repeated the Lord's Prayer every time they meet. That's the very thing he's teaching against in the text. Now, don't hear me wrong. The Lord's Prayer is a great prayer. It's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer, but it should never be mindlessly repeated. And some denominations pray the rosary, light candles, and think that those prayers still ascend to heaven because of the lit candles. There is nothing even remotely biblical about that. There's nothing wrong with persistence in prayer, and indeed Jesus commended persistence during his ministry here on earth. However, there is something painfully wrong with a mindless approach to praying. The Jews had certain prayers that they would pray at appointed hours of the day, and some of them were genuine in their prayers, but far too many were not. Jesus was teaching that a proper attitude for prayer must, that a proper prayer must come from a proper attitude for prayer. A man told the story of being a counselor at a junior high camp. There was a young man there during the camp who was born with cerebral palsy. He struggled quite a bit to talk and to get around, and the boys in his cabin didn't make things any easier on him. One of the things that each cabin had to do is they had to choose someone from their cabin to do a devotion for the entire camp each night, so they took turns depending on whose turn it was, which cabin to do that. Well, the boys in his cabin decided it might be fun to be mean to him and pick him to do the devotion for their cabin. So this young boy with cerebral palsy that could barely talk got up in front of this group at camp And it took him 7 minutes to say seven words. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. That camp that had not responded to the gospel broke down in tears, and people got saved because of a simple message from a boy whose heart was genuine. All the grand and glorious prayers that we can pray are meaningless unless they're from the heart. This young boy shared from his heart and people's lives were changed. When we pray from the heart, we'll not only see things happen in other people's lives, but we'll see things happen in our life. You can pray all the time. You can pray every moment of every day. But if it is mindless and not with the right attitude, it is in vain. I'm afraid that I'm guilty far too many times of sitting down at the dinner table and praying a mindless prayer and taking for granted the fact that I'm entering the presence of a holy God. We don't need to treat prayer lightly. Remember, your prayers don't have to be lengthy. They can be simple and short. But pray your heart. Our living God hears our prayers, and we can sit down with him and have conversation. And as I've already reminded you, Paul reminds us to pray without ceasing, and that means we can pray at any time. And no, you do not have to close your eyes to pray. And if you're driving, please don't close your eyes to pray. If you do, too late. Pray as if God were an intimate friend, not like someone you just met in the line at the grocery store. You can talk to him. So never intentionally draw attention to yourself when praying. Secondly, God should always be the audience when we pray, and prayer should not be about the length of the prayer or about mindless repetition. But the fourth key to a proper attitude for prayer is to remember that prayer is not about getting God to do your will, but instead is to help you learn to do God's will. You see, Jesus tells us in verse 8 that God already knows our needs before we ask, but he wants to hear from us. God wants to talk with us and help us in our needs. But you see, God already has the best solution to our problems and the best blessings for us in this life. But we have to learn that through prayer, he can change our hearts. Through prayer, he can cause us to desire what he desires and to want what he wants in our life. The Psalms tell us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We are to delight in him. We're to focus on him. I believe there are times in our immaturity where we're so determined to keep praying the same thing over and over without allowing God to change our heart that God ends up giving us the very thing we're asking for, even though he knows it's not what we need. So that we'll see, he knows it's not what we need. He knows what's best. You know, our attitude in prayer should never be, God, give me what I want. Our attitude in prayer should be, Lord, I know what I want, but I want what you want. Whatever your desire is for me, that's what I want. It should be that when we come before God and pray, we say, God, I believe this is where you're leading, but if my heart's not right with you, if I'm not wanting the right thing, then God, change my heart. Help me to want what you want. Help me to desire what you desire. Now, that takes some maturity, and that takes some trust to realize that God does indeed know what's best, but he knows what's coming. He can see the future when you can't. So I think we can trust it to him and know that he has the best intent for our lives. Now you may recall, I realize for some of us in the room it was a lot farther ago than for others, but you may recall when you were a teenager, you knew everything. There was nothing you didn't know. Your parents, oh please, what ignorant folk they were. I mean, come on, who needs homework? Who needs to go to bed at a certain time? Please, this stuff is crazy talk. Of course, we get older and we realize just how much we didn't know when we were teenagers. And our parents had actually lived and they knew things that we didn't know. They knew things because they'd experienced those things. They had been through those things. I fear that far too many in the faith are teenagers and not mature. They've got just enough faith experience that they think they know everything and they don't need to know anything else from God. The truth is, you will never, ever exhaust your knowledge of God. And I'm grateful for that. If somehow I could figure him out, then he'd cease to be God. But the truth is, he is so much more than I can ever begin to wrap my little brain around. He is a holy and righteous and mighty God. And we need to get past this know-it-all attitude and recognize that the one who created the universe is the one who sent his son to die for us. And he's the one who knows what's best for us. And we should continually pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. We need to grow up in the faith and trust that God in his sovereignty can lead us individually and he can lead the church. Many of us look back on our teenage years and think, boy, that was fun, but how tragic it would be to never grow beyond our teenage years. Folks, teens have it tough today. I don't envy the difficulty of what they're growing up with. There are so many things at their easy access that it's frightening to think about the temptation and the things that kids can get into today. And we need to be praying for our teens. And the only way they're going to get through those difficulties is by relying on God. But I got news for each one of us as well. In the Christian faith, the only way we're going to get through the difficulties of the day is by relying on God. We need to put him at the center of our lives. We need to learn to pray with an open heart and mind, seeking to do God's will in our life. After all, he only made the world. I think he can handle our little life. He knows what's best, and his word makes the promise to us that he has the best for us, and we can trust him in the midst of that. When will we show the maturity of an adult in our faith rather than acting like some spoiled teenager? And not all teenagers are spoiled. I'm not trying to imply that. But in the faith, we must mature. We must grow. We need to learn to develop a proper attitude for prayer and for living the Christian life. I want to make sure you get these four keys to a proper attitude for prayer. Never pray to draw attention to yourself, number one. Number two, God should always be the audience when we pray. Number three, prayer should not be about the length of the prayer or about mindless repetition. And number four, remember that prayer is not about getting God to do your will, but instead is to help you do God's will. If you'll keep these things in mind when you pray, they'll help you have the right heart and the right attitude for prayer. Maybe you realize that your attitude in prayer has not been what it should be. The good news is the God that we serve forgives. The good news, we can start new today. The Word of God tells us his mercy is new every day. So we can trust this to him. We can ask him to help us focus our attention upon him, to help us have a heart right before him. Maybe we need to take that step of coming and just coming to this altar and saying, God, help me to have the right attitude for prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior in your kingdom, God. I want to be somebody who prays prayers that constantly we see answers from those prayers, but not because I'm good, God, but because you are. Maybe God's laid it upon your heart today that you need to pray for someone you know that's lost. You see, you may not immediately think of somebody who's lost, but if you think for just a minute, you know plenty of people who are lost. We need to be praying for people that we know that are lost. Maybe we need to come and kneel at this altar and ask God to work in their heart and to work in ours that we might be available to share with them. Perhaps through your prayers, you feel like God is leading you to be a part of this body of believers. Let God direct you in that. If God wants you to serve here, he's put you here for a reason. But maybe, just maybe today, you need to pray the most important prayer you'll ever pray, and that's the sinner's prayer. Maybe today you've never asked God's forgiveness. Maybe you've never placed your faith in him. Maybe today you need to ask God to forgive you and ask him to help you place your trust in him. Invite him into your life. He will save you from your sin, and you can know not only that you're forgiven, but that you have eternal life through him. Let God lead you right now during this invitation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your amazing grace and for the privilege of being in your house today. God, help us to have the right heart and attitude for prayer. Lord, help us to focus our attention upon you as we pray. God, I pray for those who are here today that maybe don't already have a relationship with you. I pray that right now they would ask your forgiveness and trust in you. But God, I pray for those of us as believers. I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you. And Lord, strip away anything that hinders that fellowship. Help us to surrender our will to your will daily, that you might be glorified in our lives. God, we give this invitation time to you. We ask you to have your way in this place. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.